Well, welcome guys to the Church Alive podcast. So excited you're with us on this journey of faith. Our church exists to reach, teach, and empower people to live free in Christ and transform their world. You might listen to this from afar or close. You may want to check out our website, churchalive.tv, or come visit us sometime. We want to build strong families, strong lives, strong men, strong women. Our theme this year is strengthen, and we just pray that in 2024, God strengthens your life in a unique way. God bless you richly as you lean in to His Word and His presence.
You know, when we gave the title Walking in Miracles at the end of last year at our last Resilient Woman for this upcoming November, Walking in Miracles, it was funny because that theme is for November, but I felt very strongly that the Lord said, that theme is not just for November, it's for the entire year, for the women to start unlocking that faith, unlocking those miracles that are prepared for each and every single one of us. And they'll come in different shapes and sizes. They'll look different. They'll require something different from us. But I love the story that Patty shared and that other beautiful young lady. It's just a glimpse to encourage you to believe. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your mind. I don't know. But I know that starting now, you're going to begin to see God move in a powerful way. You just need to believe. Amen. So welcome. Today is International Women's Day. And for a lot of women, this day means a lot of different things. But one of the things it means to us is that we've been bought with a high price. When God created us, it wasn't on accident. It wasn't by chance. It was on purpose. And you are the crown of creation, designed to bring love and life everywhere you go. And so I honor you today, woman of God. I honor you today for standing here, being here, whether you're in this room, that room, on that stage, in the Marcus Hall. There's four overflows, apparently. And I just want to say, you are so loved. You are so cherished. You might not feel like that in this season, but I want to tell you, you are. And we have an incredible night packed up for you guys tonight. And we're going to start in a moment with three of the most powerful women you've ever met. Who enjoyed Vanessa as she came and encouraged us during worship? Man, Vanessa Castillo, because she's married now. She's an incredible woman of God. And I'll tell you what, this church is blessed because of the women of this house. We're strong in heart, strong in spirit, strong in faith. So I honor you, Vanessa, so much. And I want to bring out to the stage Pastor Katie, Pastor Verlani, and Priscilla. And they're going to open up our first session tonight, encouraging us in Jesus' name. Why don't we extend our hands towards them as they bring a word? Father, we thank you so much for the incredible women that these three are. I just pray right now you would pour out your spirit. Lord, help your servants, help your people. I thank you for the anointing that is on their life. Give them strength, wisdom, and I thank you for their heart. Bless their lives in Jesus' name, we pray. And bless those who will hear and receive your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, first runner-up, Priscilla Flowers.
Hey! Hey, resilient women, you may be seated. As Pastor Miriam said, my name is Priscilla Flowers. I'm originally from Miami, Florida. Any Latinos in the house? Hey! I went to school in Chicago, and I found my way to New York after that, and I've actually been living in New Jersey for almost 16 years this June, which is wild to think about. I am married to the man of my dreams, Chris Flowers, for over 11 years now. And we have two little monuments of our love, Lucia, who's 6 years old, and my son Hudson, who is 4. And I have been coming to Church Alive since 2017, since my daughter was 2 months old. And I am so proud to be part of the family of this church. This place has blessed me and my family's life in more ways than I could possibly tell you with the short amount of period that we have together, but I'm honored to be here, and I'm so thankful for all the leaders that I get to run with in this house. So anyway, as Pastor Miriam was saying, this year we are walking in miracles, and we're not waiting until November. We're believing that in November, we are going to be hearing the testimonies that are rolling out, that are happening even right now in the room. And the scripture that we are holding on to this year is Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 20. And I'm going to just sit on one part that I feel like the Holy Spirit is highlighting for tonight for me. And it's verse 17, and it says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And the title of my message is, "Could you be love and be loved?" If you know the Bob Marley song, you know it's that one. "Could you be love?" It was my MySpace song. Any MySpacers? Anyway, yeah. And so tonight, the one truth I want you to walk away with is that walking in miracles looks like walking in unity and love with God and people. You see, I love the supernatural, man. I believe big. When I think of that fullness of God, I think it's everything that Jesus came and paid and died for. That means your healing. That means your restoration. That means miraculous things that God will do. And I love the signs and wonders because they all point to the greater reality of his kingdom that is in this room right now. You know, I think of Jacob in Genesis when he was sleeping and the Lord appeared to him in the dream, and he saw angels descending and coming up and down a ladder, and he wakes up and he says, "Oh, behold, the Lord was in this place. I did not know it. And I think of that here with us right now. We have angels who are in the room right now at this moment. There's so many things that the Lord is probably unlocking in this moment. But I want to take it back to the simplicity that miracles are relational. That God is a relational God. And from the beginning of time, when he created Adam and Eve, it was his intention to have relationship with them, to co-labor with them. God in him of himself is a triune being, right? It's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When God sent Jesus, he didn't just send him to restore us back to him, which is also for relationship, but he actually sent him into a family. He could have made Jesus out of mud and have him appear just like Adam, but he chose to place him in a family. And when we see the first miracle that happens in Scripture, it actually takes place because Jesus' mom has asked him at this wedding to turn water into wine. And it's not Jesus' moment just yet, but he says, he's like, "Nah, woman, it's not my time yet." And Mary, knowing fully who he is and having the revelation of who he is, she just tells the servants, "Yeah, whatever he asks, just do it." And she was able to pull a miracle into time that wasn't time just yet because of her relationship with Jesus. We can be the bridge to someone else's miracle. I have to tell you, in my life, when I have been at my lowest moments of pain, of bargaining with the Lord and all these different things, I always find myself pressed into the Lord. That's never been a question. But the Lord has just been reminding me more and more lately of the people that he actually placed in my life in certain moments. Unexpected people that I didn't expect to be there. I have one dear friend who walked out a moment in life with me that I wasn't anticipating that would be the person to stand next to me, stand firm with me. There's some people who aren't in my life anymore, but God placed strategic people in my life for certain moments to come to encourage me, to uplift me. Earthly people, not just God and in my prayer closet, but people. And he's placed us into a family and into relationships so he can release the miraculous through people. I have felt the kiss and the touch of God through people's hands and feet. When someone delivered a meal to my home when my family was sick, when I was going through a financial crisis and people came alongside my family, I have felt the kiss and the love of God from people. When someone leaves a little note on my card to encourage me this week, I was like, "Oh, thank you, Lord." And even when people pray, you know, there's power in prayer. When someone says they're praying for you, don't take that lightly. There's power in people who are rallying around you. Verse 17 says that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people. Not some, but all of the Lord's holy people. And I gotta be honest, I used to throw around the word community. I did not like that word. I was like, community, get into a community. These community, and I'm like, who is the community? Where are they? When are they coming? Because I haven't found not no person who feels like my people. And the truth is, many of us have been hurt by people. Right? We've been hurt. Maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe you've been abused or misused. Maybe people have just let you down, and some of those people have been Christians, and you think that Christians are untrustworthy people. They're not people of their word or who you think they are. And in those situations, we either become unengaged, apathetic, like, oh, whatever, I don't need anybody. It doesn't matter anyway. Or we go into protect mode, like, nope, no one can touch me, I'm perfectly fine, look at me, look at what I'm gonna do, I don't need anybody. And we start to like create these like man-made accolades to show how worthy we are and how valuable we are and how we don't need people. And while they're two very separate extremes with two very different motivations, the result is the same. It leaves us in isolation and alone and out of relationship, which is not what God intended. About 5 years ago when I was in prayer, it was a leader's night at church. I found myself on my knees, and I think it was the beginning of the year we were getting prayer. And I felt the Lord say to me two very simple things. He said, love my word and love people. That seems really simple, right? And I was thinking to myself, well, I knew where the Lord was leading me, and that seemed tough. To love people. Really love people. All people, love people, love my people. And I had to quickly learn, Lord, tell me what you love about this person. When someone's irritating me, Lord, what do you love about this person? What do you see in this person, Lord? Show me the gold. And you know, it may sound funny, but the Lord would reveal things to me. Oh, look at how maybe this person is hurt. Maybe they have a chip on their shoulder because of this, but you know what I love about them? Man, they are consistent. They'll be there for you when you're like, I don't know. No, they will show up for you. They're imperfect, but they will love like no one else. I've had many friends over the course of my life who are part of church, very faith-filled people, people who believe big, people who God has ministered through, who don't find themselves in church community anymore. It's not for them anymore. And it's so sad because I think they could be the biggest gift to the body of Christ if they were just to plug in again. They'll say things like, oh, I don't have to go to church. You know, church is not in the four walls of church. I've said that before. That church got too big. No, yeah, I haven't found my people. See, I've been hurt by the church. There's no one there who's like me. There's no one there who's my age. You see, they don't understand me. They're too deep. They're not deep enough. Their worship team sucks. No, their worship team is full of celebrities. All these things. Oh, they're not where I'm from. But the truth is, maybe you're meant to be different in that group of people. Maybe God has called you to that place to be different from anything else that's around. It's not about what you can get on a Sunday. It's about what you can give. Start showing up for what you can give on Sunday versus what you can get, because you're meant to be a blessing to the people of God around you. You are meant to be the bridge to somebody else's miracle. Sometimes I feel like people will use the excuse of like their gift or their talent is going to be misused. Oh, you know what, I don't want, you know, people have used me and my gifting, and I feel like people don't love me for me. And then we find ourselves saying like, we love you for you, not for your gift. No, no, we don't love your gift at all. It sucks. What are you talking about? God has given you a gift and a purpose. And sometimes I see that people are depressed and sad and alone because they're not functioning in their purpose, because they're protecting themselves from people misusing them. You know, hundreds of years ago, if we were in a tiny little village, and this was the whole village, and say there was only one doctor, and someone was giving birth and knocked on the door at 2 a.m, if the doctor said, I'm sorry, I feel like you're using me right now, I can't come to the door, find another doctor. No one would do that. It's like this modern culture of just like, no, 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 I'm good, stay over there. And sometimes we can find ourselves in these sad positions because we're not functioning in our purpose. We're not connected to people. We're more powerful together. And we actually need each other. We need each other because our miracles are actually unlocked in each other. Miracles aren't just to be like, wow, look at that miracle. God healed you. If God uses you to heal somebody, it's to point them to the Lord. It's to point them to relationship with the Lord. So miracles are going to come from us walking in unity and love with God and with each other. Paul, later on in the letter, as I wrap up right now, he says, and this is the part that we all love to quote, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever." You know, Paul, at that beginning part of the letter, he says that he will strengthen you, that he will empower you by his Spirit. But when it comes to the end, when it comes to the part about imagining and dreaming, he uses us and we. Your miracle is not just for yourself. It's not just for what you can gain. It's about a greater us and a greater we. So I feel like maybe there's some people here tonight who maybe you've built up a wall instead of a bridge. And I feel like the Lord is saying, hey, will you let those walls down? More than being fearful of people hurting you, he's saying, trust in me. Because I will take care of you. I will uphold you. I will uphold your relationships. You don't have to worry about people hurting you because I will keep you. I hope that blesses you. And now, the pastor, doctor, fiance, Pastor Verlani, let's give it up for her. Can we celebrate Priscilla? Oh my goodness.
Incredible, incredible. It's an honor to be with you all tonight. And so, in continuing the theme of walking in miracles before November, and the scripture of Ephesians 3, I felt like for me personally, and how this time together is going to go, is focusing on Ephesians 3:16. And it goes in line with our vision for the year. And it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power." But not just your own power. No, it's power through his Spirit. And it's in your inner being. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. See, if you're taking notes, the title of my message is The Hidden Miracle. It's the hidden miracle. In our time together, I'm going to talk through how you'll be strengthened in a hidden season. See, because there are some of you who've realized that, okay, we're believing for miracles, but I just don't see it yet. And I wanted us to be encouraged that your miracle hasn't been forgotten. It's been hidden. And there's purpose in a hidden season. See, the hidden miracle is the preparation that happens on the inside. We're being strengthened on the inside, ladies, in this season. And so I believe that the miracle that you're believing for, waiting for, actually is what's going to be developed in you before it's noticed by anyone else. It's the inner work. And I want to talk about one person who spent 90% of their life hidden. A person whose very words we speak, a person whose very words, I mean, we read about, we live out the words that this person has said. And if you haven't guessed it already, well, we're going to talk about Jesus. Why are we here? See, Jesus was hidden before entering public ministry. Actually, when we read the Gospels, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we actually only read about 3 years of Jesus's life, which is incredible when you think about the difference that Jesus makes and continues to make in each and every one of our lives. But it's in the years that we don't read about him that actually reveals what we do know about him, what we do read about him, what we say about him. And if we say we want to be more like Jesus, the question is, well, do I want to be hidden? right? We were like, what is that? And Paul reminds us in Ephesians 3:16 that you would be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, which means, ladies, this is an inside job. For us to embrace a season of walking in miracles like Jesus did, we'll need to embrace, like Jesus, where his strength was drawn from. So how do we get strength? How do we strengthen in this hidden season? What did Jesus actually do? I believe there are a few women who are here tonight that you might be hiding, but in plain sight, that you have you're in the right place, the right job. You finally found the right church. Praise the Lord. And everything seems to be quite exactly the way you've envisioned it. But the purpose behind all of it hasn't been revealed just yet. And you're trying to figure out, do I start trying to make it my way or do I wait for the opportunity? For some of us, actually, it's quite the opposite. You said something, you did something that you regretted, and you're like, no, 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 I am hiding for a reason. I am isolating myself from everybody. No, I'm done. And maybe for some of us, you're perfectly content. Where are my introverts? Yep. See, because everything's okay. Why would I want to step out now? Things are fine. Everything's fine. So what do we do with such a season? A hidden season is a preparation season. So how do we prepare? Well, in a hidden season, Jesus had a meaningful relationship. He had a meaningful relationship, and it was evident that Jesus was in a meaningful relationship with the Father. And we know this based on what the Father says about Jesus. See, it's amazing when we're in relationship with someone that's meaningful to us. It's not what we say about them, it's what they say about us that makes all the difference. And when Jesus gets baptized, and in Luke chapter 3, he gets baptized, and he's having a conversation with the Father. I love that it says that he's praying. And then all of a sudden, this audible voice comes, and it says this, "You are my son, who I love, and with you, I am well pleased." That's what the Father says about Jesus. Before Jesus did anything, he knew he was loved. How many of us truly know that we're loved by God? Oh, the meaningful relationship that Jesus had with the Father, it changes everything. And for me, I grew up in an environment where I felt like I had to win the affection of my parents. And so I achieved and I achieved. I did the honor rolls. Like I went out to all the banquets, anything that I could do to get my parents to show up. So you see all the titles and all that stuff. I promise I have a different reason for it now. But before, it really was to show my parents that, man, I just want you to know that I'm proud. And God gave me this beautiful picture of this little girl running to what it looked like the arms of her father. And the Lord just spoke to me, and this was a couple years ago as I was wrestling through my self-worth, and he said, "I choose you here." Meaning before you've done anything, before you started to strive for something, before you thought you needed to get all these things, I chose you here. I set you apart here. I hope that resonates with someone today. Amen. You don't have to strive in this season of walking in miracles, ladies. All you have to do is have a meaningful relationship with God the Father. Because what he says about you, trumps the miracle itself. And so with that, what else did Jesus do in a hidden season? Well, he grew. See, he spent his hidden years, learning And what's amazing about that is that I love that our Transform groups, Luke 2:52 is this massive scripture that we use all the time that says that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and favor with man. See, when Jesus was young, he was in the temple. He got left in the temple. He was abandoned by his parents for a short period. I've been left by my parents before. No trauma. it's a true story. I'll tell you about that later. But I will say, it's incredible to see how Jesus interacted in the temple, and he knew that he had questions. And that's what healthy community, as Priscilla would say, does. I love what our Transform groups are allowing us to do. It allows you to grow in your hidden season, to process your thoughts, to be in an environment where you can learn, you can grow financially, spiritually, relationally, whatever it is that you want to think through. You can do that in community. How your questions in this season can be answered. But you have to keep growing and choosing to grow like Jesus did. And lastly, in a hidden season, befriend stillness. Dr. Alicia Britt Cole tells us this, and I love this quote. She says, whatever the context, Jesus could stand strong in public because he stood still in private. He intentionally pursued quiet places to be alone with his Father God. He was able to stand still in a world that wants our attention, in a world that continues to rob us of everything. Being still is the hardest thing to do in a hidden season. And throughout scripture, it seems that Jesus seemed to always look for a quiet place. It even says it in Luke, and this is the one scripture that I was like, oh, it's the shortest one, I can use this. And it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is what Jesus did. But if you think about it, he did this as a natural rhythm because it's what he did while he was, nobody knew who Jesus was, right? And so with that, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity in a season like this where the miracle we're believing for is actually the work that's going to be done in us. And when it comes to befriending stillness, for me, it's been going through my gratitude journal. And that means I get to write every day. And this is 8 years in running, but I have a reserve of things that I'm grateful for because you never know the season you're in. Because, ladies, if we get to walk in the miracle, if that is what's in front of us, would it have mattered how long it took to get there, to receive it? Would it have mattered the level of sacrifice you had to make if you're still gonna walk in the miracle? And so in this season, for some of us who feel like you're hiding in plain sight, who feel like no one, you're overlooked, I just want to tell you that this is an opportunity to cultivate a meaningful relationship with our Creator, to be reminded of who our true source is, how to cultivate healthy growth, and allow the opportunity to process our thoughts and emotions before we try to make the miracle happen on our own. And to befriend stillness, so when we walk in the miracles, it will be all for God's glory and not our own. Thank you, ladies. Come on, Pastor Katie, bringing us home.
I love you both a lot. Hi, how we doing? Good? All right, I want to read Ephesians 3:20 again. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. The God that we serve, our Father in heaven, can do not just more than what we ask or imagine, but immeasurably more. He's limitless. He can do anything. We can't even measure the amount of things that he can do. And when I was thinking about walking in miracles, I was first thinking about how every single day we're already walking in a miracle because we get to live in relationship with Jesus Christ because he died on the cross and was rose from the grave so we could be set free, so we could have a relationship with our Father in heaven who loves us so much, who never leaves us, never forsakes us, and who can do more than we could ever ask or imagine. We're already living in a miracle because of Jesus. And when I was thinking about this verse, you know, I've prayed this verse a lot and read this verse a lot, but I gotta be honest, sometimes I've read this verse and prayed it, like, you know, God, I believe you can do more than all I ask or imagine, and I'm believing you to do more in this situation. However, as I'm believing for you to do more, I would still like the miracle that I'm believing for to be done the way I want it, how I want it, in the time frame that I want it. I don't want to wait for this miracle, but I am believing, God, that you're going to do more than I ask. I just would like you to do it in my plan, in my time, and then just kind of put like a little cherry on top. Like, you're going to make it more grand, but I still want it to be my plan. I found that that doesn't work, unfortunately. When we're asking God to do more, he's going to do more than we ever asked or imagined, which means it's going to be different than what we thought it was. It means it's going to be different than our plan. And we have a choice to make where we say, am I going to lean in and go, God, I actually want your miracle, your way? Or am I going to focus on the miracle that I want that I didn't get or haven't gotten the way that I wanted it? You know, sometimes God doing more means that we have to wait a little while for the one thing we really are believing for. But on the way to that one thing, he does like 20 other miracles. But sometimes we miss those miracles because we're so focused on the one thing that he hasn't done yet. And I've just been encouraged recently to lean in, and this season is we're believing to walk in miracles. I felt like God was telling me and encouraging me that for a lot of us, it's time to go, okay, God, I want to walk in miracles, but I want to walk in the ones you have for me, not just the ones I want. God, what do you want to do in this season? What miracles do you want to do in and through me? Because I want to follow him and I want his miracles for my life, not just the ones that I want. And I was thinking about the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she was a teenager when she was going to get married to Joseph, but the angel of the Lord showed up to her and said, I'm going to summarize it for time, basically said, hi, Mary, don't be afraid by this greeting. You're favored. God is with you. Also, you're about to give birth to Jesus. He's going to be the Son of God. I know you're a teenager, but it's time for you to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. And just imagine her sitting there like, what is going on? And she just asks one question. She asks the angel, how's this possible because I'm a virgin? And he says, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and overshadow you, and, you know, you're going to have Jesus. And then she says in Luke 1, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I don't know about you, but I would have had a few more questions than Mary. I would have been like, how, where, why? I don't know how to be a parent. I'm a teenager, and now I'm going to be the parent of our Lord and Savior? What is going on? Who recommended me for this? Because they obviously didn't know me. I don't know what is happening. And also, what about Joseph? Because Mary had been planning. This was what she was planning and believing for, this marriage with Joseph. I think this might mess it up because this is going to be very hard to explain. I would have been like, Angel, can you come explain this to Joseph? So now she has to go explain this, and she has all these things that are unanswered, but she says, okay, let your word be fulfilled. I'm the Lord's servant. And I've been learning lately that we have to let the word guide our desires more than anything else. And so she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be as you say. And I found that sometimes we're believing and planning for something, like she was planning for this wedding with Joseph. And God speaks to us and says, actually, can you do this instead? And we go, but I'm really believing for that thing. And God says, can you step into this? And sometimes the this looks like it's going to cancel what you were actually believing for. Like, I'm believing for this marriage, but now that I'm going to have this baby, at that time in that culture, in that society, being pregnant out of wedlock could have got her killed, could have got her abandoned. Definitely Joseph could have left. But she says, you know what? No, I want God's word to be fulfilled in my life anyway. And then later, it says in a different passage of scripture that actually Joseph was going to plan to divorce her quietly once he found out. And God appeared to him in a dream and told him, Joseph, it's okay. The baby's from me. You can marry her. So Mary still got Joseph. It just looked different. And she had to trust God first. And then God took care of it behind the scenes. And God still gave her the thing she was believing for. But she had to step into it without knowing what was going to happen. And I was thinking about this story all week, and I didn't want to share it, but God won. So here we are. I'm originally from California, for those of you who don't know, and came here when I was 18. Always planned to leave after college. Never planned to be in ministry or be a pastor at all. And always planned to go back to California, get married, have a family there. But I felt called to stay, and every day since then, I felt like this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is where I'm supposed to serve. But there have been times along the way where it's been lonely, I've been homesick, there's been things that I wanted that didn't happen. Ministry has looked different. Sometimes I thought people would be nicer. Sometimes I thought I'd be better at it. There's just been things along the way you think something's gonna look a certain way. And there were multiple conversations I'd had with the Lord over the last 12 years of, you know, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will, but I don't wanna do it alone. I want a family of my own. I want a husband. I want kids. God, I don't want to do this alone. My family's in California. I need some help here. But every time I felt like I was just supposed to keep walking into what God had for me. And there was this one day a couple years ago that I was just upset. I was disappointed with some stuff in ministry, with some relationships. And I was home alone and I was on my bathroom floor, just hysterical. You know the kind of ugly cry that like no one should come near you for a long, long time. It was bad. And I was just honest with God. I was like, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. This was a great 10 years of ministry. What's next? Like, what's plan B? Because I think I'm done. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. And I'm still alone. It's still just me. And I was like, God, I don't think I can do it. And I just was upset. And I was honest with God about the disappointment. And I remember in a loving but father way, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit on the inside, while I was praying and complaining to God, said, hey, Katie, I know you feel alone. I know this isn't the way you thought it would be, but you've never been alone a day in your life. I never left you alone. I never broke the promise. I've been with you every second of every day. You never did ministry without me. You don't have the strength to do it without me. I've never left you alone. Every time you needed the love, I gave it to you. Every time you needed the strength, I gave it to you. You might feel alone, but you have never been alone. And I remember being like, ah, okay. All right, I thought this would look different. I was believing for this thing over here, but if I kept staring at the thing I didn't have, I realized I wouldn't be able to step into what God was calling me to step into. And I have seen so many miracles that God has done just because I said yes. But that doesn't mean that I've stopped believing for the other thing. I need someone to know in here, I feel like there's some people your life doesn't look like you thought it would by now. You thought you'd be over that issue by now. You thought you'd have the husband, have the kids, have the house, have a different situation by now. And you're staring at this thing and God is saying, hey, while we're believing for this thing, don't give up on this thing. If God has spoken it to you, if God's promised it to you, it's gonna happen. But while we're believing and waiting, can you lean into the miracles I have for you this year? Can you step into the things that I've called you to do? Can you listen to me for the miracles that I have for you? Because if we stare over here, we're gonna miss what he has for us. And he has more than we can ask or imagine, but we have to lean into him for the more and stop staring at what we don't have. Keep believing for this thing because it's gonna happen. But this year, as we walk in miracles, let's lean into the miracles God wants to do because he can do more than all we ask or imagine. Amen.